Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome, Jason.
Oh, hi.
We are hanging out this morning, holiday edition style, missing my Christmas
Yes, I love this decor.
I know, isn't it cute? It was inside of Restream, and I was like, oh, look at that.
Love that for us.
I know.
Am I dressed I up for you.
Yes, you did. I couldn't find my Chewbacca Christmas sweater, so sadly I'm in just in plain black, but that happens.
Not a very chewy Christmas at this point.
Not a chewy Christmas. Oh, that's unfortunate. It's a great sweater too. I am so excited that you're here.
I'm excited to be here.
Yay, good. We had talked about not doing this date, like, are people going to come, whatever. And I think that at the end of the day, there are a lot of us right now, if you are still working, right, anyone who may still be working, you're sort of like checked out. This is like the last day that you're probably working. Maybe you're only working half a day and you're just like, I'm checked out. Or maybe you were checked out last Friday and now you are spending time with family and you'd love to get some time away. That was our theory anyways. So hopefully that ends up being the case. So yeah. Someone's in the chat already. Ryan, hello.
Hey, hello, it's Ryan. Our buddy.
Yes.
Me and Ryan worked on a fun project this past week. And by fun, I mean it wasn't. It was like really, really complicated.
Tell me about it.
We found a lot of headaches and pain points in a specific product that we were trying to build a project with. And their docs need some work. It was a challenge. I don't want to get too much into it just in case it comes across someone's desk, but their docs need help. So if anybody's interested in doing some doc work for a company, I'll just pass me a message and I'll send you their info.
Okay. So follow-up question. We don't want to roast someone because we've all been there, right? Where we've had rough docs. We just, either it's earlier, things have evolved, right? Got dragged into something bad.
We did. It was Pandora's box when we got into it, but we figured it out. We did get our project put together. We wrote a blog post about it. It was very positive, but we all collectively decided that once the contest is over, we will give some feedback on everything. So
that's what I would love to hear as you, and we're going to get into this, right? So actually, you know what, before you answer that question, why don't you introduce yourself? Let's tell everyone who you are, where you work, sort of what you do.
Yeah. So, hi everybody. I'm Jason Torres, community evangelist at torque.dev. I work with one of my homies that some of you are probably familiar with, Taylor Dessen. He's my boss. So weird to say. Great dude, though. He's building a team of superheroes around his concept of DevRel for recruiting, or like the talent side of the industry. Hey, look at that. There he is. Speaking of
Taylor.
Devrel.
His
ears must have been ringing. But I'm super proud of everything he's putting together there and allowing me to like just be myself in the position and growing this community. We've had just dumb growth in the last couple months. I mean, we've almost tripled at this point the size of the Discord. Signups for the platform have been through the roof. So everything is moving on the uptick positively. It's just been fun. I have a background in film. I spent 15 years in the film industry and then transitioned over to tech, where I started to be a self-taught developer and decided that I like to code, but I also like being language agnostic and that I'm still touching tech where I am, but I can play with any toys I want. I can build with whatever I want. We just did an Astro project. Like, that was my first time. And thankfully Ryan was able to help because I had no clue what I was doing, but it was fun. Like, I love that fun. I like to still have the enjoyment of doing it as opposed to like being an engineer every day, all day, every day, and hating it. Yep. So I feel like I'm really in a great spot.
Yes.
That's me.
I love that so much. I have like a couple follow-ups there. Awesome. I am so excited to hear about the results that you're seeing and not at all shocked by it, because like I told Taylor when we were at Commit Your Code, I was like, you are killing it. You are literally killing it at DevRel and how you are approaching this angle and what you're building over there, and told him how smart he was to hire you. Obviously, we all know that, though.
He is smart for doing that, obviously.
But the thing is like, y'all are winning and y'all are succeeding because you are investing in that developer community, and you're not just putting money towards a sponsorship. You are literally showing up, doing the hard work, building meaningful relationships, and making sure that you are truly engaging with those relationships. And that's like how you do DevRel, in my opinion.
And for anybody that doesn't know, I mean, I've known Tessa for a little while. We just met in person though, fortunately, which was awesome. Had a lot of really great conversations, but I think her and I align on that concept of how you build communities and develop. It doesn't even need to be, we say developer communities because this is the industry we work in, but at the end of the day, like, these are transferable methods across any industry as far as engaging with people and networking and building communities. And it is, it's about the people. Like, at the end of the day, I want everybody to get something out of their contact with me. I don't know what that is. I can't tell you, but it ultimately should be something positive. Like, that's paying it forward. That's building in a positive way, because that impact is then going to positively impact somebody else, and so on and so forth. And again, that's like growth. So I totally agree with you. I love what we're doing. I love the energy. And I hope that it keeps going, but we're doing really crazy things, and we have a big plan for 2025. I'm excited to see what happens. So,
oh my gosh, I love that so much. So I posted this quote over the weekend. I was watching Klaus. If anyone has never watched Klaus on Netflix, amazing show. It's about this kid. He was a spoiled rich kid, and he needs to go build a post office in this awful town. And so there's this guy, right? And his name is Klaus, and they end up sort of mimicking and building. And it actually makes me question, is this how Santa came to be? So check it out. Klaus is a great movie. One of my 16-year-old's favorite holiday movie, honestly. Wow. But yeah, I know, right? He has maintained it through all of his childhood and still really loves it.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I've seen the trailer. Interesting wreck though. Or is this sponsored by Netflix? Are we being sponsored by Netflix right now?
No, we're not, but hey, maybe. But what I wanted to get to is what I posted. So what I posted was, a true act of selflessness sparks another. And I think, like, Jason, honestly, if I really had to speak to this over the last year, I would say that you would be the person that would really truly shine bright in my ecosystem and my network of, like, someone who really is, like, who is handing out those acts of selflessness and not even thinking about yourself whatsoever, really just handing those out. And I think that that is the beautiful thing about what you're seeing, the results that y'all are seeing, what you're doing. And so it's just going to keep going because of your very beautiful acts of selflessness.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's funny you mentioned that, because it's like, I don't know. I don't think about how it's going to affect me, except for, like, the karma aspect. I was just at Lowe's, like, right before we got on. I had a couple errands to run, and there was a couple that was outside. They were looking at these, like, $20 trees that were out there. But I had to pick up poinsettias. So I ran inside and I bought a gift card and I gave it to them so that they could buy the tree. It's like, I don't know these people, but it was like, hey, if that little moment right there made their day, like, I don't know what happened to the tree. I don't know why they need it, but who cares? So hopefully, again, that pays that forward for somebody else.
Okay. So you and I need to hang out somewhere and, like, do some crazy, like, you know, Mr. Beast level stuff where we can get some, like, sponsorships and then just give stuff out.
Because I love doing stuff like that.
Same. My husband and I will go around and do this as much as we can. And I will say, like, this Christmas, I'm getting a little teary-eyed, but only because of, like, this beautiful holiday spirit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was a hard year. Like, starting a business is hard. And it wasn't that it was, like, ridiculously hard, but, you know, like, nonetheless difficult, right? And normally we give and give and give. And actually we take our kids shopping so they can buy stuff for other kids. And then we go give those gifts to those children or bring them to the church or whatever, wherever it is that we're doing it. It's usually our church. We did not have the privilege of being able to do that this year. And it was just sort of broke my heart a little, but I think sure. at the end of the day, like these little acts and these little actions, whether they're big or small, really just help people feel like that. And someone bought me a coffee the other day, and like, I'm normally the one doing the giving and the buying. And yeah. so I was like, you know what? I really like really, really needed this. And so it was just this yeah. absolutely beautiful thing. So
no, I love yeah. doing stuff like that. And I mean, mm-hmm. this year we did the stuff for work, but I guess the background on that, like me and my brother, in person here near where we live, we would do a big like event for the Open Door Mission, and mm-hmm. we would get with a bunch of companies. They'd give us a bunch of things, and we'd give them away for raffles. They could buy raffle tickets to win stuff every day. But with the pandemic and everything, we stopped doing that. So I had messaged Taylor because I was like, look, I'm going to buy with my own money, like a bunch of gift cards to give away in the Torque stuff, just to like do an event. And he's like, no, I'll, you know, like we'll take care of it. But I ran out of gift cards. Like I gave them all away and I felt guilty. So I bought a bunch of other gift cards to give everybody else that didn't. So like some of the people got Starbucks gift cards. I had to buy a couple extra Amazon gift cards, but I know he's going to give me crap about that. But, you know, it's just money. Like I can't take it with me.
Yes.
And if that was like a catalyst for some positive for somebody, especially around Christmas, it's like, I don't know, it's a no brainer. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Okay. So we chatted quite a bit about you. I know. Right, Taylor?
Like, yeah. Sorry,
that beautiful
dude.
That beautiful heart. Okay. So you were talking about kind of bringing it back. You're in trouble.
That's why I didn't tell you.
Yeah. Cause he's like, no, you don't need to do that. Anyways, I get it as a manager. Like I get it. Okay. So you were speaking about how you and Ryan, who's in the chat, love yeah. you, Ryan, glad you're here. We're working on a project over the weekend and then the documentations are really difficult. So yeah. I think let's actually talk about that because, you know, there's lots of different questions I dive into. What are you building? You know, what does your day-to-day look like? And I think that you can actually shed a great deal of light on why did they suck? Like what happened in the documentation? What were you not able to do? And if you don't want to give away sort of all the, you know, bits and nuggets to sort of unveil who it was, totally understand. But, you know, was it oftentimes it's like you go in and it's like one person recently, for example, I was looking at a getting started guide and I started doing the getting started guide and I literally couldn't even get forward in the getting started guide to actually get to the thing that I wanted to do. So I would love to hear what were your issues, what were kind of the struggles, and maybe what do you think would have been a better path for them to take to resolve it?
Sure. So I think, and you kind of hit the nail on the head, and the way I look at documentation sometimes, like I will never say that I am an advanced developer by any means. Like I sure. think that documentation, however, should have tiers. Like a new user should be able to comfortably come in and spin something up without too much complication. Then yep. there should be a tier for more advanced users that want to really deep dive the infrastructure and like do whatever they need to do and be able to find something. Like if I specifically get an error message that is related to your database, your framework, or whatever it is, I should be able to search that and be able to get information about it in your platform. Yep. We had to enlist the help of another person that you know very well, Chris Nowicki, because mm-hmm. neither of us are, Ryan and myself, aren't super familiar with backend. And oh, sure. we brought Chris in, and Chris could not figure it out. And that, like, again, that's a pretty big testament because you know how good Chris is.
Yep.
He struggled being able to figure it out too. Fully believe in tiered document. Yeah, saying it for years. I totally agree. So we ended up having to, because we could not connect our query to the database the right way, something with regex, we ended up having to pull the database up to the client side and do the search on the client side. So we ended up having to yeah. add additional script to do that, as opposed to just running a call to the database for the specific like query. Should not have been that complicated.
Right.
And again, way out of my wheelhouse. They are also glad to help at Jason. Is that Chris? I don't know.
I feel like it's Swift. It might be Chris Swift.
Oh, Chris Swift.
If I had to make a guess, whoever it is, the LinkedIn user, they commented, so and we can only see LinkedIn users. So
I can tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't Taylor.
That's true, because he's connected.
Yeah. But I think, again, like people, any sort of org should have documentation that on that first page, somebody should within 5 minutes be able to start using a product.
I agree.
Like, I got so confused. And again, I'm asking for help, and three of us could not figure it out and ended up having to go with an alternate method because we couldn't even determine whether their database was able to do what we wanted, which again, shouldn't be a problem.
Yep.
So, you know, again, adding all these extra steps does not optimize efficiency on a website either. So, that our speed thing, because I wrapped our thing in a container. Vercel's got like a speed check thing, can watch the processing on the site. It's like a C at this point because we're just it's not clean code. It's bad. So moving forward, I think that's going to be some of the suggestions that we offer as far as like maybe efficiency and being able to find like troubleshooting tips. Again, like if you're dealing with a specific problem with a specific product, you should be able to locate that. And maybe it's something that people haven't seen before. So there should be a better workflow for somebody that does have an issue like that as to how they can address it.
I agree.
Yeah. But something that probably should have taken us a couple days between the three of us, that literally took us all week. And that's also issues with time too, because this was just for fun. Yeah, but it's done.
It's hard to dive into some of those issues when you're doing projects like that for fun, honestly. Mm-hmm. So like I've been trying to like, you know, start installing some things and dabbling into some different projects, and I'll spend, you know, half an hour, whatever, sort of diving into something. And it's not enough time. Right. And so when you don't code all day, or if you don't get the privilege to say, hey, I'm done with my day job, right, I get to go just play and code. It can be really painful because you're sort of stuck in this issue. And then you're like, okay, well, let me just write down what I was doing at the last moment that I was thinking about this in some capacity so you can come back to it, which honestly never, ever, ever works.
No.
So Ryan added a comment in the docs, or sorry, in the chat about the docs that we were just talking about and how they were wrong. And I just wanted to, for anyone that might be listening when this is in a podcast version or might be listening now, I think that's one of the really sort of key things. And so since we're talking about DevRel, I'm going to kind of just drop this really quickly because I want to sort of share this wisdom a little bit. But there's four buckets that I look at when I look at DevRel, and they all sit on top of one very important bucket. And that important bucket is problem fit, understanding what pain points developers have and that your solution solves those pain points, but who has them, right? And who will pay for them is sort of what I consider that problem fit. And then there's these four, you know, look at it like squares, right, that sit on top: discoverability, credibility, aha moment, advocacy. Advocacy. Not developer advocacy, that's customer advocacy. So discoverability and credibility is very much what we see in the developer advocate type of role. They're out driving awareness, they're out building credibility, building a brand name, reputation. That's those two boxes. These bottom two boxes are aha moment and the customer advocacy. Did the customer get to the value that they wanted? Are they out there talking about your product and using it? So someone actually in the chat talked about how they joined Torque. They didn't find it before. That's customer advocacy, right? That's the end result that you want from DevRel. You want them talking about what you're doing. But what you were just referring to with that documentation is that aha moment bucket. And whatever platform you are using, they are lacking in that aha moment bucket. And that is honestly one of the most important, although all four are very important. Developers have to find you. Then when they find you, they have to trust you. Do you have credibility? Then they have to reach that moment of like, oh my gosh, I know what I'm going to build. I know how I'm going to build it. And the docs have to paint that picture. So what I wanted to share briefly is how much and how important it is to spend time on those documentations. Your website and your homepage can be crap. Your marketing messaging can be crap. But if you have good docs and a good community platform where developers can go ask questions and engage with their peers, boom, slam dunk. You can leave that marketing website as trashy as you want for likely a very long amount of time. If you are nailing these other cases, because most developers come to a website, they go to the documentation, then they go to integrations because they want to know, do you partner with what I already build with? And is it going to be easy for me to get started? And they want to find a getting started guide.
I could not agree with you more. And I feel like everybody over in the chat, at least like I saw Nick Taylor's here, Ryan, Chris, everybody, they're very doc heavy. They're very technical. They want that.
Exactly.
But documentation too. And again, to speak to what you were just saying, all of those tiers, they have to have multiple levels of them because again, you're going to pigeonhole yourself into being like only for senior devs. Like your content's too technical. Like you're cutting off a huge part of the market by not having content that get or documentation that gives that aha moment for a newer developer.
Yep.
I'm not going to want to go and use that product again.
Exactly.
Like I will totally say that. So, you know, again, that's not necessarily a knock against the product, but as a newer user, a newer developer, I want products that have the documentation that I can have that aha moment that you spoke of. And I definitely did not get that there at all. I got a lot of, shoot though.
Exactly. And I will say too, just to add just like a little layer onto what you said, because you basically said sort of this is that there are sort of, I'm going to say there are two approaches, but honestly, there's a million approaches, but I look at it in sort of two different ways that you're building out ecosystems for developers. One way is self-serve, right? Devs need to be able to go on their own, get the documentation, do the thing, read the things, understand them and build, which is exactly what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Then there's sort of this other approach, right? Where you're going after those enterprise developers, you're going after those senior levels. Maybe you're going after fintech and healthcare companies. And so it's always a sales demo. It's an enterprise sales motion. And you're going to have different documentation, but here's the thing about that. If you are in this enterprise sales motion bucket, you are still going to have developers who are like Jason, who are like Ryan, who are like Nowicki, who are like myself, who are going to come in and who might need additional context or additional information. And they're not going to fall into that same skill level that you think that you're covering, right? And so that documentation, whether your target audience is highest enterprise devs at extremely regulated companies, you still need some form of self-serve documentation, even if it's behind a login wall, if that's what you have to do, but it has to exist so the developers can come in and find those resources.
I don't mind setting up an account. Like I don't mind doing the steps at all, but I get super pissed if I set up the account and I start to do something and then I hit a wall.
Right.
Because now I know I'm going to get your marketing emails. You have no problem sending me those, but you seem to have a problem getting me to actually use the product like functionally for what I need. So not cool. It's not cool.
Not cool.
Not cool, man.
Okay. So let's dive into at Torque, obviously you're doing a variety of different things. And so what does your day-to-day look like, honestly?
It kind of varies, and it looks like it's probably going to change a little bit going into the new year too, just because we're, you know, kind of changing things up. I think we were feeling out a lot of the process in the end of this year, seeing what worked, seeing what didn't. So typically Mondays we'll do like a team. We have a team meeting, do our stand up. I'll just get into work. It's a lot of planning too, and it's also a lot of engagement. I am in the Discord all the time, writing my own content. We'll be getting some blog posts out. So a lot of it's just like sitting right here and talking to people in the community. And then I will do a stream. I think I'm going to kind of shift the schedule of that a little bit next year, but we do like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Mondays, it's just casual. We talk about like current events and stuff like that. Things that are going on. And then again, that's engaging with the community and topics will come up and we'll get into that. We've been talking a lot about like jobs and planning 2025 for yourself, which again is super important. We've done like resume stuff, portfolio stuff, just things to help people kind of progress. And, you know, we've been very, Taylor and I have been very candid with any discussions we have, like, 10% of the people on our platform that sign up will qualify for one of the roles that I have. It's the numbers, but
that's incredible, honestly.
It really is. And we actually have had a ton of people get picked up even in the last week, 'cause we get updates all the time.
Yes.
which is awesome. But we want to be able to provide a place for you for other resources. So that's what our community is really driven to, is like, I want to have educational stuff. I want to have stuff around the job, just general community networking. And that's what our Fridays are for. We do a stream on Fridays, the lunch networking thing. Everybody drops all their socials in there. We're engaging. We're talking about stuff. And again, building, I mean, we've seen like 300% growth on everything because, you know, I don't have a product to sell you. I'm not pushing that. And I think that really also helps me because I don't like doing sales.
Me
so
neither.
I can just organically sell just being a part of something where everybody's picking everybody up. Everybody's helping. And it's been awesome. And it's nice not having like hours. So it's like, I'll do a little bit of work at night. Usually go down and help my kid with his schoolwork because we homeschool Jack. Do some meetings. We always have team meetings, but I think that's good too, just because you want to be aligned on everything. Yep. In our Slack, we do morning check-ins every day, which kind of breaks down what everybody's day looks like. A lot of one-on-ones, me and my associate who's like my Mexico me, Hema, is we're trying to get some content to do together.
Very cool.
So we've got a lot of planning coming up, but yeah, you're gonna see a lot of torque in your face next year, which is good.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's how it's supposed to be. And I think, you know, what y'all are doing is like it's beautiful, right? It's like there's a variety of people looking for work, and right now is a really, really hard time to be looking for work. Mm-hmm. Depending on what you're skilled at, right? There are some really great opportunities out there right now. But at the same time, we're seeing a lot of office work. And I think that that's making it really difficult for people who have chosen to become remote or to work somewhere else. And so I think we're definitely seeing this huge flux in sort of where the job market is going and where people are both physically existing and also, intellectually, contributing and all those things torque in your face.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. As soon as I said that, I was waiting for somebody. I was like, God, no. I struggle with sometimes, like, I'm like, why did I just say that? I immediately know when someone's going to be like, oh, geez.
Well, good friends, right? Good friends in the chat friends. Because you've built developer engagement literally everywhere you go.
No, and that's the thing, like, that's what I want everybody to feel like.
Yeah.
I want everybody to feel welcome and feel like we're their friend, because we are. Again, I don't, my goal, again, I'm not selling you anything. I don't have a product that you can buy. It is us. It is being part of the community. And if somebody ends up getting a job or somebody just feels welcome, Taylor's been kind of, he always is like trying new catchphrases and crap like that. Like, you know,
sounds like Taylor.
you're not alone, right? Like we're a community to help you through this process. Because it is hard. So, we have some people that are struggling with some stuff and they come in and they talk about it and we try to give them some direction. Sometimes they're not there for direction. They just want to hear like, that sucks, but let it out.
Right.
So
I think your Friday networking is really interesting too, because oftentimes, developers, and I will say we didn't get this essence at Commit Your Code, but we can kind of get to why that is in a second here. But oftentimes, we have all these different sort of personality, archetypes or types in the developer ecosystem. And people like to say that we're antisocial, but at the end of the day, we are actually the most social human beings around. It's just that we don't really care for people who aren't like us, and we don't do that in a mean way. It's just, we like to talk about the technical problem solving space, right? We want to dive in and we want to talk tech with our friends. We want to talk about what they're building and what they're doing and anything in the ecosystem, and really just someone that we can relate to. Right. And I think that's very normal. We all want to hang out with people who are like us.
Yes.
Right. But I think that also in our ecosystem, we can find people who are shy or who, don't necessarily find it easy to come out of their shell. And I think that that's a really beautiful way to do that. I think Commit Your Code, as I was saying, did a really beautiful job at that, because most times when I go to a conference and I don't necessarily know everybody, I can actually find myself sort of like dissipating back into the distance. And I'm a very outgoing person, right? You've met me in person. Many people have met me. But it's just like the sort of like, okay, it's a lot. It's overwhelming. And I think conferences can be a beautiful place to do that, but yet can also sort of be a very darkening place too, if you don't find that little crew. And I think that Commit Your Code and the networking sessions that you're doing are different, right? They're bringing developers together. And I think this community goodness of really like authentically getting to the roots and saying like, no, seriously, it's the Pac-Man theory here. Like we don't just close these circles. Everyone is always welcome in these circles. And I just think it's beautiful. I think that that is exactly what our ecosystem needs, especially right now with everything that's going on economically in our world, but also in the job market, right? Definitely. How do you feel like, I mean, obviously like sort of, you know, your role coming in to Torque, it's like, it's a little fresh hitting all these events. Yep. Have you sort of noticed the same essence at some of the other events that you've been going to, or, what do you think on that?
Yeah, that's yes and no. I mean, I think it really depends on the event specifically. You know, we were at All Things Open and that one felt a little different because again, it's everybody kind of runs in packs in things like that, where this one, without necessarily having like the massive hallway track where everything is separated, it felt more intimate. So it feels like everybody was like there together as opposed to just there at a conference with other things. Even Render. Render is massive. Yep. It's hard to get that sort of a vibe that Commit Your Code has or anything where it's like, you know, everybody's a lot closer. It's quieter.
Yep.
So the energy is just very different. That said, it doesn't mean that there aren't positive takeaways from the larger events. But again, something like Commit Your Code was just like perfect for networking and being like face to face with people. I love doing the virtual meetups too, because I feel like it's like a real good gateway for people to like get a little bit of confidence to do something in person. We're going to try to do some meetups around conferences coming up in 2025 as well. So I'm hoping again, like the buildup of the community virtually will get more people to these meetups when we come to the different conferences, which is gonna just give more people like opportunities. You know, there's only so much that you can do here on the screen. Like that next step, even at, and again, you don't have to be extroverted. You don't have to be like outgoing, but there's so much more for these people to gain by just being able to go out and do stuff. And if we give them that opportunity of doing the virtual things on Fridays or doing this and that, like helps them build up the confidence to go out and like go to their first conference and maybe find a new job, find a new friend. Like there's, again, that's how it pays it forward for me. So I want to be able to give that to everybody.
I love that. Absolutely love that about you. And that's why you're so great. Follow-up sort of like thought around that. You know, I think it's actually interesting in what, when you at Commit Your Code, Torque brought together a lunch networking event the day before the conference started.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really, really cool. And I think, you know, when you start to think about that, those are actually like the most beautiful events for people who are a little bit shy or maybe just like don't come out of their shell as easily or just don't have a pack, right? As you said, that they run with in normal times. And I did meet someone at Commit Your Code who was like that. And he's like, I don't really know anybody. And I was like, hang with me. You'll know everybody pretty soon, right? And so it's just not everybody, but a lot of people. And so it's just like doing those things and your events are actually building that beautifully. And so that is actually something to sort of like raise awareness to, like as conference organizers or even event organizers, are there sort of pre-virtual things that we can do to let people start to meet each other? Maybe it's just a couple days beforehand, before people are traveling. Hey, I'm so-and-so, kind of icebreaker networking. Give them this chance to like use the keyboard and the screen to hide behind, but yet meet people and then be able to come and engage. And that is very much, you know, what y'all are doing. And I think it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I like that as the kind of the precursor to events, you know, building up and like making plans with people. We did that in the 100 Devs Discord as well. you know, because this was an opportunity. Leon was going to be at Come At Your Code, and a bunch of us were also able to be there. So, you know, again, a lot of us had never met. So we set it up in the Discord and built that momentum and the excitement. And then we all, you know, I don't think we ever got all like hung out like we were planning on, but we did get a picture. So that was cool. And it was hard because I was only there for the one day anyways, but I think that's such a great idea. And Ryan had mentioned that wasn't the first time Taylor's done that either. And I think that it's really a great way, again, for people to just meet in a, I don't want to say safer, but like just
it is
out safer. Of the conference.
Yep.
Away from the conference, because the conference is very different.
Yep.
Especially again at the bigger ones, all things open, like render that energy and try, like my brain goes nuts. Like I can handle it, but some people can't. So it's like, it gives them a step away where they can still engage and meet. I like that he does that, and there'll be more of those. I think that's going to be one of our initiatives going into 2025, is not even necessarily sponsoring events, but like just holding more meetups for opportunities like that.
Yep. Okay, I've got two more questions I want to ask, but the one thing I wanted to sort of apply on here for anyone, because we've been sort of talking about a little bit of this, and if anyone is kind of listening with eager ears to learn all of this, I'm bringing together sort of it's going to get published here in the next day or two, but it is a untimely, a little bit late, but hopefully not everyone's on the same fiscal year, an MVP dev tool market budget, right? Like, what do you absolutely need inside of your budget? And a lot of that comes down to meetups, right? And so one of the things that I share in there is, if you can't sponsor these big, huge, giant events, can you attend the event? Can you volunteer? Can you bring people together? Can you do what y'all are doing in different ways to bring those developers together, right? Okay, so
I think last question. I just wanted to speak on that real quick. I think that there's tons of ways to be able to stay within a budget on that. Like I got offered a ticket to an event in England and I could go, but again, that cuts the expense down. So like there's speaking events too. It's like, if you get accepted to talk, that's going to offset the budget for your company to get you there. Or if you're paying your own dime, and then you can still host a meetup or do something offsite or whatever. Like, there's so many different ways around it to like build value, but maintain a certain level of like expense. I love that idea. Well, I'm going to try to do more of that too. It's like that guerrilla event planning where you just show up and then you're like, hey, we're here, let's do it. So
you're hustling hard. You're doing all the work, right? You're doing all the hard work to build the relationships to bring all those people together. Okay. So I know you have to go soon. So let's do one really good last question that I think is usually very insightful. When you're stuck, whether you're stuck in a code problem, like we talked about, whether you're stuck in a, hey, what tool should I use type of a problem, what is kind of your hierarchy of steps that you take to get help when you feel like you can't move forward?
First thing, I ask Claude.
That's a good one.
I do. I mean, I'll go to AI. If I can't understand what it told me, then I will defer to one of my phone-a-friends. I have a very select few people that I can bounce ideas off of, because I mean, I think we can all agree we've run into that person in tech that is the person you would never ask a question again. So I do try to avoid that. It's like, if I'm not understanding the error, if I can't troubleshoot this myself, run it, which actually I use Pieces. I have the desktop app. I keep all my stuff in there, but I typically use Anthropic's LLM. So that, if that doesn't make any sense to me, and it's not like within 10 minutes, I'm like, hey, Ryan, have you ever seen this error message before? Like, what's going on? Or, you know, again, a couple other people, if they can't then figure it out, then we are escalating it to somebody that usually does not have the same responses as a friendly Ryan. But I don't have a problem asking for help, but I also understand, like, if I can figure something out on my own, I feel like I can gain more from that. So that's how I do it. And it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, again, it can be a coding problem or just a life problem. Google, or you can honestly, you can ask AI life stuff. It's so many people don't realize it's not just for coding. Like you can just ask it stuff. So
you absolutely can. If anyone's looking for some tips on how to leverage Claude and sort of think about that, there's an episode from last week with Alex Stanford, and he actually talks about what he does, and he uses Claude and ChatGPT and sort of goes back and forth and actually like has ChatGPT interview him. So if that intrigues you at all, and it sounds like beautiful results, I would go listen to that episode and just hear his kind of tips and techniques. I love that. And I think, so here, I actually would like to just shed light on one thing really super quickly. So you had said something about asking people, you're going to get different types of results and asking. What I am assuming that you're alluding to is asking a far more senior engineer something who you don't really like to tap into that resource because you know that they're busy and they're at this level, right? I am going to openly say this, that I feel like, and this is me making an assumption, I feel like people put me in that bucket. And so people reach out to me, but not like they used to. And I think that if I can speak for the senior devs, it actually kind of makes me sad because then I'm doing all the outreach to reach out to somebody else, which is great. But at the same time, I don't have the time, very similar to sort of the other senior dev. And so I think there is sort of this like very, very interesting dynamic of like, who can I reach out to and ask time for? But at the same time, sort of feel like it's you're burdening them. So I think I just ask the people because honestly, people don't ask me for stuff anymore. And it kind of bums me out. And I'm like, I will still happily help. And I realize I'm busy, but I'll even take the path of replying publicly, right? So if you want insights from someone who you feel like you don't want to take their time, in air quotes there, do it publicly. Ask me directly on Twitter, tag me and say, Tessa, what do you think of this? Because then you're not wasting my time because then I get to come in and help you answer your question. But then all the rest of the people that get to see it also get the answer. And so if you're able to do it publicly, I would recommend that. Otherwise, just go ask the people.
I think asking public is something a lot of people do say also. And I think when it's asked that way, they assume that you're going to ask the question the right way. I think that there's like... people don't have time for banter or chat or, if you have a question, ask it. If the person needs more information, they will ask back. That's how the flow should be. So instead of just, hey, what's up? I had a question. Then you wait for the response. Like, no, just ask if they Dump do have time. On. But again, put it in public because you're not going to post that in public. You're not going to be like, hey, how you doing? Had a question. Can you get back to me? You ask. So I think that does make sense. I've had Eddie Zhao say like, hey, we have conversations pretty often, but he'd be like, oh, you should ask me that in public because then other people could also benefit from it.
Exactly.
And I'm like, no, just answer the goddamn question. No, I'm like, what the hell? No. But no, he's a good dude. But I see the benefit of it besides just for you. And again, that's like paying it forward to the building and learning and public opportunity where everybody can benefit from the question. So,
yeah. And that person who gets to answer it has scaled their time, right? Yes, they invested time to go and answer the question, but it means that they got to help more than just one person answer that question. And what you said about, please don't DM me and say, hey, how are you? Like literally, please don't say, hey, how are you? Hope you're well. Then dump what you want. That was an absolute amazing call out. So that is a great tip for anybody, right? It's always beautiful to come in and groom that and make sure that you're courteous about the situation, but to require them to write back so that you can ask a question means that they're not going to write back when you need that answer. And then there's still yet another delay to getting the answer that you need.
So. Yeah. Over time, you can develop that relationship for with people. Sure. Like that's for fine. Sure. Yeah. But I get a lot, and I'm sure you had them as well, of those just like, hey.
Yes. I'm like,
what? Hey, what? Like Ryan can say hey to me at this point. Like you can message me a hey, but even still, I'll usually just be like, hey, hope you're doing well. Just checking in. Like, there's the question. There's the statement is in the first line. So, life's short. And I don't think many people, even if they have the time, want to spend it in those types of situations. So it's like, do yourself a favor too.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so to wrap up the show, where can people find you? You're an amazing human being. Everyone should be your friend. So they need to go find Jason Torres. Where can they find you?
I am all over the place. I'm on LinkedIn as myself. You can find me or Tayson Torres on Twitter. The Jason Torres was taken and the guy told me to kick rocks when I asked him for it. So I will never be Jason Torres. I am Tayson Torres, which somebody actually did think was my name at one point too. Not it. It's not it.
Not it. I love what you did there though.
Well, thank you. Everybody should follow you as well. You are such a beacon of positivity and you've always been there for me and I appreciate that. I hope that you and your family have a great Christmas.
Yes, you too. And that's just us, right? That's what we do. We do those selfless acts because we know that they're going to come back. And if they don't come back to us, they're going to come back to somebody else. And that's just how the world turns. So
yeah, there it is.
All right, y'all. This has been so great. Thank you for everyone who has joined us. Jason, any final words?
I will give you my final call for the year. This will be the last time I say it. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Oh, I love that. Well, on that note, I will see everyone later.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.